family, are you ready to worship this morning? Come on, stand up together.
For every battle you've won without question, for every lie that you've silenced with love, we acknowledge you in every victory, Almighty God.
Yes.
For every promise you kept in the valley, for every burden you've lifted with ease, we have gathered with great expectation, and Lord, we believe.
That's right.
You never cease to amaze us. All of the praises, Lord, they belong to you. Jesus, receive all the glory. Take all the credit for what you're about to do. Every good thing comes from you. For every season that showed us your song, for every trial that taught us to trust, we are standing right here in your purpose as you stand with us.
Let's declare it.
You never cease to amaze us. All of the praises, Lord, they belong to you. Jesus, receive all the glory. Take all the credit for what you're about to do. Every good thing comes from you. Oh, thank you, Jesus. Every good thing comes from you.
Yeah, every good thing. Think about all God's done for you, the blessings he's poured out in your life. That'll put a song in your heart, amen? Come on, let's sing it together, church. You never cease.
You never cease to amaze us. All of the praises, Lord, they belong to you. Jesus, receive all the glory. Take all the credit for what you're about to do.
Sing it louder.
You never cease to amaze us. All of the praises, Lord, they belong to you. Take all the credit for what you're about to do. Every good thing comes from you.
Oh,
every good thing comes from you.
Oh,
every good thing comes from you.
Let's celebrate this morning together.
Every good and perfect thing.
In the book of James, it says every good and perfect thing comes from above. Amen. Come on, church. Amen. Amen. So we worship him this morning. We're gathered in his house. We lift praise to his name. We lift our hands. We lift our hearts. Come on, church. Let's sing this together.
A place where your love is found, a place where forgiveness and joy abound, where one endless song resounds, how great you are.
Amen.
A place where the word brings life, a place full of hope, where faith will rise and worship breaks through the night. How great you are.
We sing this together, this house.
And this house will lift it up. A house of praise with hands held high to bless your name. And Jesus,
Well, good morning, church family. We have the joy of celebrating 5 baptisms and life changes today. And we start with a husband and wife. This is John Buskol. John, upon your public profession of faith in Christ and in obedience to his divine command, I baptize you, my brother, in the name of the Father, the Son, and Holy Spirit. And this is John's wife, Susie Buskol. Susie, upon your public profession of faith in Christ and in obedience to his divine command, I baptize you, my sister, in the name of the Father, the Son, and Holy Spirit. And this is Landon Jolly. Landon, upon your public profession of faith in Christ and in obedience to his divine command, I baptize you, my brother, in the name of the Father, the Son, and Holy Spirit. And this is Patricia Lynn. Patricia, upon your public profession of faith in Christ and in obedience to his divine command, I baptize you, my sister, in the name of the Father, the Son, and Holy Spirit. And this is Ashlyn Seal. Ashlyn, upon your public profession of faith in Christ and in obedience to his divine command, I baptize you, my sister, in the name of the Father, the Son, and Holy Spirit. Buried with Christ in baptism, raised to walk in newness of life.
Come on, church, let's celebrate this morning. May we never grow accustomed to seeing life change here at Prestonwood. Are you glad to be here this morning? This first Sunday in March, what a beautiful Sunday God's given us. Before you sit down, would you just take a moment, turn around and maybe greet someone around you? Say, welcome to the house of the Lord. It is incredible to be together this morning. You may be seated. My name is Rick Briscoe. I'm one of the worship pastors here at Prestonwood. And can I just tell you what I just told our choir moments ago? My heart is always lifted when I'm together with God's people at Prestonwood. And let me just say that many times we walk in this room and we leave with the same circumstance we walked in with. However, our perspective totally changes. Can I get a witness? When we're together, when we get connected, it's so beautiful. So yes, it is awesome to be together on this beautiful Sunday in March. What an amazing spring and summer are ahead for us as a church. And we just want to stay connected, right? Full disclosure, this morning before this service, I have never done this, but I texted the word connect to 74788. I'd never done it, just to see what happens. And can I just tell you, I'm so proud of our church, the way we digitally stay connected. If you're a guest in the house, maybe watching online, we want to say welcome. If you're here live and in person in the house, text the word connect. Try it out. It's amazing to see you get a message from Pastor Graham, a greeting, and then what I love most about it is no matter the stage of life, the age of where we are in life, it's a great way to find out how we can get connected to ministry here at Prestonwood. So check it out. Text the word connect to 74788. We hear it every Sunday, but you ought to just check it out for yourself and see how you might stay connected in ministry. Well, it is really, really good to be together. Pastor Graham has an amazing message. I can already tell you I'm convicted and haven't even heard the message. But the text of today's sermon is John chapter 10, verse 34, 35. If you got your Bible, you may go ahead and open it up and be ready. That little verse 35 was actually the first verse I ever committed to memory, one of the first verses I ever committed to memory. And it says this, "By this shall all men know that you are truly my disciples if you have love for one another. This morning, we're going to discover how to keep loving like Jesus loves. And I know we can all use a dose of that this morning. So glad you're here in worship. Let's continue to worship and let's prepare our hearts to get connected to the Almighty God who is here and desires our praise. Can you pray with me? Lord, thank you for your presence. Lord, thank you that when we're together, we are encouraged. When we're connected to you, our hearts are never the same. We have so much to be thankful for. Our hearts pour out in gratitude today. Church, would you stand? Let's worship.
All my words fall short, and I got nothing new. How could I express all my gratitude? I could sing these songs as I often do, but every song must end.
Love this.
And you never do.
Sing it.
So I throw up my hands and praise you again and again, 'cause all that I have is a hallelujah, hallelujah. And I know it's not much, but I've nothing else fit for a king except for a heart singing hallelujah, hallelujah.
One response.
I've got one response.
Sing it.
I've got just one move, and with my arms stretched wide, I will worship you, Jesus. So I throw up my hands and praise you again and again, 'cause all that I have is a hallelujah, a hallelujah. And I know it's not much, but I'm nothing else fit for a king except for a heart singing hallelujah, hallelujah. We sing hallelujah. We sing hallelujah in this place.
I want to invite all the men in the room to sing this with me. Come on, my soul.
Come on, my soul. Oh, don't you get shy on me, 'cause you've got a lion inside of those lungs. Get up and praise the Lord.
Oh, that sounds good, man. Sing it again.
Come on, my soul. Oh, don't you get shy on me. Lift up your song, 'cause you've got a lion inside of those lungs.
Sing it out.
Hallelujah. throw up my hands and praise you again and again. 'Cause all that I have is a hallelujah, hallelujah. And I know it's not much, but I've nothing else fit for a king except for a heart. Hallelujah, hallelujah.
Praise the Lord.
The Good morning, everyone. Take your Bibles and turn with me to the 13th chapter of the Gospel of John. And this is the wonderful story of Jesus. We keep telling the story of Jesus, and we are very excited that now we are on our way to the resurrection, Easter Sunday, which is 5 weeks from today. And I hope that you are preparing your own heart spiritually and that you're inviting friends and family already to join us on Palm Sunday, Easter Sunday, and of course, all Sundays, but we're so grateful for the opportunity to reach beyond into our community on a beautiful Easter and to praise God. And one way that we are encouraging us all on this road to the resurrection, on the road to Easter, is with our brand new Living Hope devotional. And I hope you have one of these. We were distributing them last Sunday for the first time. And you can get these online, PrestonWoodBookstore.com. If you're online, welcome all of you who are online. And then everyone in the room, everyone in our church, we want us to begin. It really begins today, 5 weeks of a devotional. There are actually QR codes in here where you can pull up a playlist for that particular theme of the day. And we're just so thankful for our pastoral team, our worship team, who put this together, our communications team, and we want you to have one. So you can go to the bookstore and pick one up. They're just $10, which is, about 2 cups of coffee from your favorite coffee shop. So it's not much. We're just trying to recover our costs, and you can help us do that. You may want to buy some for your family and friends, but get this. My heart is full today as we bring this message. We have had, over the past week at Prestonwood Christian Academy, upwards to 550 of our students and faculty and staff and administrators on what we call Minimester. And what we do on Minimester is send our students across the community and across the country and across the continents to share the gospel of Christ. So we had students globally and locally and all points in between, 5 or 6 different states, 5 or 6 different countries, and right here in our own city. And I'm so proud of our students, the students of Prestonwood Christian Academy. And so pray for them as they return, that they'll bring the fire back to us, because I guarantee you they're coming back home with a lot of fire. You know, we've been seeing the Jesus Revolution movie. How many of you have seen it already, the Jesus? You either saw it here in the theaters. We're having an incredible response. I've been talking to Greg and Kathy Laurie regularly. Millions and millions and millions of people are seeing it. People are getting saved in theaters. One of our couples and several others were in a theater locally. It was packed out. This was last weekend. And a fellow brought in 3 or 4 40-something men. And at the end of the movie, it's a powerful story. It's a love story. The love of God and the love of a couple that committed their lives to Christ in this time, Greg and Kathy Laurie. And so they were in there at the end of the movie. They were weeping, these 3 guys. And so they all went outside, including our folks and about 10 or 15 others, and they huddled up in a circle, and those 3 men prayed to receive Christ right there in the lobby of the movie theater. And that's happening. You know, great things are happening. I know a lot of bad things are going on in the world. We know that. But there's a lot of love, the love of Christ that is being spread as well here and everywhere Christians are going with the gospel of Christ. And so most revivals, in fact, I dare say all great revivals in time and in history have begun in the hearts of young people. This is why we are so committed to our student ministry, which is strong, and our children's ministry, of course, as well, bringing them up to know and love Christ, training them. So our student ministry, we have a group of students from our student ministry, not the PCA, but our student ministry, who are in Albania as we speak, sharing the gospel of Christ. So I'm just telling you, and what's happening on the college university campuses, what's going on there in Asbury and now at Texas A&M, there's a great movement going on, and we're so grateful. But I'm telling you, God is doing something in the hearts of His people in these days. And we just say to the Lord, please bring it on. Lord, bring it on, because we are ready, and we know our nation is ripe for evangelism. So if my people who are called by my name will humble themselves and pray and seek my face and turn from their wicked ways, then will I hear from heaven and forgive their sins and heal their land. The hope of the world is Jesus. The hope of the church is Jesus and His presence and power in us. That's what revival is. And so it was just great to see. I know I announced last week, you know, our basketball team won a state championship again this past week. And then our soccer team at PCA won a big championship. We're happy for them. But we're so thankful for these students and the same bunch of guys that were hoisting a state championship trophy were hoisting up little kids and refugees and kids and sharing the love of Christ. And Jeff was our head coach, was named Coach of the Year, and rightfully so. But Jeff, thank you for your leadership. He was down in the Dominican Republic. Jeff Clarkson, he also leads. I'm giving a few shout-outs today, so celebrate with me. So Jeff also heads Prestonwood Sports Outreach, not only our basketball coach at PCA, but Prestonwood Sports Outreach and that team, and we're having record numbers of kids and families and all the sports, again, to show and to share the love of Jesus, which is what we're talking about today. So there's that. I see my physician and friend and parishioner, Dr. Ken Cooper, here today, as he always is, who just had his 92nd birthday yesterday. Dr. Cooper is a world changer. Millie, we love you. And, you know, I don't normally recognize everyone's birthday, so if I missed yours, I'm sorry. But I wanted to say something, because here's a man who literally has changed the world. There's a documentary coming out about his life, an autobiography. And Ken, dear friend, and my physician, and it's a privilege to be your pastor, and Millie and your family. And we're just grateful for the way that you help people. And he's a physician, and he shares the ministry of medicine with people through the love of Christ. And that's what we all do. And my theme and my topic today is how to love like Jesus. How to love like Jesus. And it is a signature, two verses really, signature verses in all of the Bible. You know the story of Jesus, tell me this story more and more. The story of Jesus is recorded in the Gospels, the good news of Matthew, Mark, Luke, and John. And when we get to the fourth gospel, the Gospel of John, we have a very special section near the end of the book, which is the Upper Room Discourse. There are a number of sermons or messages that are recorded in the Gospels. Of course, you know the Sermon on the Mount. And then there's the Olivet Discourse in Matthew chapter 24 when he spoke of the end of times. And there were other times when he spoke and messages were recorded by the inspiration of the Holy Spirit. But this is a message that he delivered in his final hours on earth in the upper room. If I could just context this before we read it, Jesus is at the eve of his crucifixion, before the resurrection and then the ascension and exaltation, and his promised coronation as he is King and King of Kings and Lord of Lords. So now it's a dark night. They're in an upper room, Jesus and these disciples. And the clock is ticking, and when Judas is exiting the room as he is being revealed as the betrayer, the clock begins. It is triggered on the final 12 hours before Jesus dies on the cross in the greatest demonstration of love the world has ever seen. In fact, Jesus himself is love incarnate, love incomparable. You cannot really define love, you can only demonstrate it, but it is demonstrated most perfectly in Jesus Christ. God is love. That's what the Bible says. And because Jesus is God, he embodies love. And this love is to be in us. We are to love like Jesus. If I could love like Jesus, I would be a better husband to my wife, because the Bible says that husbands, we are to love our wives how as Christ loved the church and gave himself for her. You would be a better wife. You would be a better parent. You would be a better child. You would be a better Christian. We all would if we could learn to live like Jesus, but specifically that we would love like Jesus. So in verses 34 and 35, verse 34 and 35 of chapter 13, a new commandment I give to you, that you love one another. That's recorded 12 times in the Bible, love one another. So what's new about that? A new commandment I give to you. We're told to love God and love one another in the Old Testament. What's new about this commandment that Christ is giving us? A new commandment I give to you, that you love one another. How? Here's the difference. Here's the dynamic. Just as I have loved you. This is the love of Jesus. As I have loved you, you also are to love one another. And then he said, by this will all people know that you are my disciples, if you have love one for another. How to love like Jesus. We're going to see today in this passage of Scripture the extent of the love of Jesus. We're going to talk about the expression or the example of the love of Jesus. All this is for you to encourage you to take notes. We're going to talk about the expression or the example of the love of Jesus. And then we're going to talk about the evidence of the love of Jesus. To be loved and to give love is the greatest need of our lives, psychologically, emotionally, mentally, physically, and certainly spiritually. Carl Menninger, who is a psychiatrist, once said, love is the medicine for our sick old world. If people could learn how to give and receive love, they will usually recover from their physical or mental illnesses. Love. Love is great medicine. Love is what the world needs. Burt Bacharach recently died. He was one of my favorites. One of my favorite songs written by Burt Bacharach is the song, What the World Needs Now Is What? Love, sweet love. And I would say what the world needs now is love, God's love, the sweet love of Jesus. Our world is so loveless because it is so godless in so many ways. In fact, Jesus would tell us in another one of his addresses to the disciples that at the end of days, the end of time, that the love of many because of iniquity, because of sin, would grow cold. And we're living now in a cold world, a chaotic world in which people don't know how to love. They know a lot about lust, but not very much about love, the love of God. And the most fulfilling, enjoyable experience of our lives is to be a channel of God's love, the love of Jesus to the world. That'd be a good place to say amen.
Amen.
The greatest experience in living is to be a channel of God's love to the world. 1 Corinthians 13:13 says, "And now abides faith, hope, and love, and the greatest of these is love." There's great power in faith. There's power in praise. There's great power and strength in hope, certainty of salvation. But of faith and hope and love, the greatest of these is love. So Jesus gave us this last commandment. You know that love is a choice because we are commanded to love. We choose to love according to Jesus. And so let's look at this love, this love of Jesus. What kind of love is it? First, let's think about the extent of this love. For the very first verse of chapter 13, if you'll just back up a little bit, as Jesus is gathering his disciples, he tells them that they're loved to the end. He says, or John describes it, as he loved his disciples to the end. Aistelo, that is, to the maximum. He loved them to the limits. Now, these disciples, like you and me, did not always deserve love. In fact, none of us ever deserve the great love of God, the grace of God. But these disciples, a ragged bunch as they were from time to time, just a few weeks earlier, a couple of them had come to Jesus and said, "Who's going to be greatest in the kingdom?" They're jockeying for power and position. And in a few hours, Peter is going to deny the Lord three times, and others are going to be questioning the Lord. There, Jesus is forming his disciples into discipleship because, remember, these 11, Judas now gone, these 11 are going to be assigned to take this message of love, the love of Jesus, to the world. So he's getting them ready. And as we are in this message series over the next several weeks leading up to the Resurrection Sunday, we're going to stay here in the upper room with Jesus and listen very closely to what he's saying and in his final instructions to his disciples then and his disciples today. But the extent of his love, he loved them to the end. And I hope you know that the love of Jesus is an endless love. Amen. It is eternal love. The Bible says, God speaking, "I have loved you with an everlasting love." We've said it many, many times that there's nothing that you can do to make God love you more than he loves you right now. Or there's nothing that you could do that would cause him to love you less than he does right now, because he loves you perfectly and passionately, even to the extent of the cross. The love of Jesus runs red, and it goes all the way through the Bible and to the cross where Jesus died. There's several kinds of love in the Greek language, words for love. One is eros, which is erotic love. It has to do with the love of intimacy, of sexual love. The word eros is not in the New Testament, though certainly God affirms the intimacy of marriage. But there is another word in the New Testament for love, is phileo, which is the love of friends and the love of family. This is natural human affection and human love. Phileo, the city of brotherly love, Philadelphia. And we pray for them, the people in Philadelphia. But they're the city of brotherly love, phileo. But there's another word unique to the Bible, unique to the life of Christ, and it is agape. And if you've been around your Bible for a while, or maybe you've been studying your Bible, you've heard this word, agape. What is agape? It is selfless love. It is sacrificial love. It is the love of Jesus. It is a Christian word. It is a Christ word, because Jesus shows us this agape love. It's the word that not only speaks, but does. And it is extensive in its grace towards all. And to be filled with the love of Jesus Christ is to be filled with this same endless love. I'm so grateful for the persistent love of God in my life. We saw it in the book of Romans at the close of Romans in the 8th chapter. It says, nothing will separate us from the love of God which is in Jesus Christ. So no matter what we do, His love reaches out to us and never stops loving us. What is the greatest definition of love, of this agape love? It's John 15 and verse 13. Greater love has no man than this, but that he would lay down his life for his friends. What a friend we have in Jesus. I enjoyed that, singing it with a new frame, if you will, this morning, an old hymn. What a friend we have in Jesus. All our sins and griefs to bear. What a privilege to carry everything to God in prayer. So I want to begin this message by just you thinking deeply as you can about the extent of this love. It is indescribable in so many ways, immeasurable. Paul speaks of this boundless love of God, this endless love of God, when he speaks of praying in the height and the depth and the width and the breadth of the love of God, which is in Jesus Christ. You say, well, everybody knows that God loves them. No, not everybody. And in fact, there are people listening to me right now who wonder, can God love me? Does God really care about me in my grief, in my pain, in my sin, in my suffering? Is it true that Jesus loves me? It's the most simple and profound truth in all of the Bible. We sang it as children, Jesus loves me, this I know. Why? For the Bible tells me so. And it's the Bible that tells us of this great love of Jesus Christ, who went all the way to Calvary and through an empty tomb that we might have this boundless, endless, eternal love in Christ. So we start there with the meaning of this love and the extent of this love. But let's move on now to the expression of this love, or what we would call the example of this love. Go back to the 13th chapter of John and look with me at the first verses, beginning at verse 3. Jesus, knowing that the Father had given all things into his hands and that he had come from God and was going back to God, rose from supper, and he laid aside his garments, and taking a towel, tied it around his waist, and then he poured water into a basin and began to wash the disciples' feet and to wipe them with the towel that was wrapped around him. Here we see the model, the example of the love of Jesus. It is a love that is selfless, a love that is sacrificial, as well as steadfast, as we've already mentioned. So what is the scene here in the upper room? It was common, it was customary in Jewish homes and families for people coming off the road from a hard day's work to have a basin of water and to wash their feet. And if you were a wealthy family, perhaps you had slaves. And it was the responsibility of one of the slaves, and typically the most menial, the lowest of the slaves, to wash feet. Sounds good, doesn't it? Maybe we should bring this back. I mean, it was refreshing to get the grime off, get the grit off, get the dirt off. Have your feet washed. Massage just a little bit. Refreshed, renewed. It's such a beautiful picture of what Christ does for us as his love reaches down, gets on its knees, and washes the feet of fishermen and tax collectors, grimy guys who'd gathered in that upper room. He washed their feet. He laid aside his outer garments and put on the garments of a slave and wrapped himself with this towel, with the basin. Now, something is very important here. It says that Jesus, knowing, look at verse 3 again, Jesus, knowing that the Father had given all things into his hands and that he had come from God, he was going back to God. He knew his true identity, of course. And at this moment, on his way to the cross, he knows who he is, that he is God, that he came from God, going back to the Father, and that the Father had given all things into his hands. Everything is his. It all belongs to him. Jesus knows that. He's the Lord. He's the Savior. All things in his hands. And yet, what does he do? He doesn't take up the throne at this point, but he takes up a towel and takes the posture of a servant and bends down and begins to wash the feet of these disciples. And as he's washing their feet, he is demonstrating love in service and in ministry. 1 John 4, 7 and 10 says, "Beloved, let us love one another, for love is from God. And whoever loves has been born of God and knows God. And anyone who does not love does not know God, because God is love. And in this love of God, who was made manifest among us, that God sent his only Son into the world so that we might live through him. And in this is love, not that we have loved God, but that he loved us and sent his Son to be the propitiation for our sins." Paul spoke of this in Philippians chapter 2. One of the great passages in all the Bible is Philippians chapter 2, verses 5 through 11. "Have this mind among yourself, which is yours in Jesus Christ, who though he was in the form of God, did not count equality with God a thing to be grasped, but emptied himself by taking the form of a slave, a servant, being born in the likeness of men. And being found in human form, he humbled himself by becoming obedient to the point of death, even death on a cross. Therefore, God has highly exalted him and given him a name that is above every name, so that at the name of Jesus, every knee shall bow and every tongue confess that Jesus Christ is Lord, to the glory of God." Here we see that Jesus, just as he washed the feet of disciples, taking the form of a servant, when he came to this earth and went to the cross, he laid aside his dignity, although he never laid aside his deity. Always God, he knew who he was. Now, big, big point to be made. Are you ready? If you want to love like Jesus, number one, you need to know who he is. But you also need to know who you are in him. And so many Christians do not know this, or do not understand this, or do not practice their identity in Christ. We see in Jesus such humility. And what is humility? Humility is not the lack of self-esteem or even self-confidence. But humility is the frame of mind, it's the attitude that I know who I am and that my identity and my security is in Jesus Christ. And when I have that kind of security and identity within myself, knowing who I am in Christ, that sets me free to love you. I don't have to fight you. I don't resist you. I can love you because now I know that I am so loved, that God's love is in me, that I am in Jesus Christ. And most every day I repeat some things as my time of prayer, as I'm about to head for the day. I talk about my identity and I speak it out loud, that I am born again, I am blood bought, I am a believer in the Lord Jesus Christ, I am called of God, I am chosen of God, I am a disciple of the Lord Jesus Christ, I am a friend of God, and I am forgiven, and on I go. I am declaring my identity in Christ. And you can do the same. Knowing what you know and who you are in Christ. That God accepts me. That God approves of me in Christ. That I am righteous in Him and right before God in Him. And when I know that I am loved like this, then I'm set free not only to love Him back, to love God, but to demonstrate my love of God by loving you. Love one another as I have loved you. Amen. This is the example of love. When Jesus washed feet, some want to turn this into an ordinance of the church. It's not an ordinance of the church, so you could certainly practice foot washing if you choose. But it is a demonstration of the love of Jesus. And put practically for you and me, it means the menial things. Things that maybe others do not do. Where were the disciples? Not one of them volunteered to wash their own feet. They looked around, there wasn't a servant. So Jesus did it. And what a lesson on love we learned. Love in the little things. Love in the little things. It's holding a child. It's a smile of acknowledgement and appreciation. It's serving the Lord in ways that others do not maybe even see or know. It's loving Jesus by loving others. That's what it is. It's being sweet to your kids and kind to your family. It's being loving to one another. Love one another. It's the message of Jesus. The final message of Jesus. Underscore it. Love one another as I have loved you. The Apostle John, he saw himself as the disciple and described himself in his gospel as the disciple that Jesus loved. Was he bragging? No. He knew he was loved. And when you experience the love of Jesus, it's in one sense like John must have felt it, you know, if I was the only one, I know he loves me, the disciple that Jesus loved. And we say it often that if you were the only one who needed the love of God, Jesus would have gone to the cross for you and pour out his life and his love for your salvation. That's how much he loves you. Oh, how he loves you and me. But John, at the end of his life, he was a surviving disciple. He lived into old age. And he was pastor and leader, one of the churches at the church at Ephesus, and there is a great, strong, very strong church tradition that tells us that John, the aged apostle now, is taken back after his time on the Isle of Patmos where we were given the Revelation, the last book in the Bible, that they brought him back to church and they said, John, now he's old, he's feeble, he's tired. Said, John, give us one last message. And the beloved disciple said, love one another. You say, Pastor, you could have just said that. We could have gone home 30 minutes ago. But it really is the message. I'm trying to drive it home to all of us. Love one another. That's by showing love to people all around us. Start with your family. Start with your friends. Start with the church and then the community all around us. And can I just say, Prestonwood people, you do this so very well. So proud of you. There's a job to be done or a ministry to be achieved. When there's a place to go to tell people about Jesus, when there's a service to be had and you invite your friends, I'm just saying I'm so thankful that you love like this in so many ways. It's what thrills me about what these students, these young people are doing it. They're going, why? Well, it's fun, it's exciting, it's an adventure. I remember those mission trips as a young person, but you know, it's way beyond that. It teaches and trains our young people how to give back, how to love selflessly and purposefully in their lives. This love is a humble love, it is a holy love, it is a heart love. It's not just external, it is eternal and internal. It flows out of the heart, because Romans 5 verse 5 says that the love of God is poured out into our hearts by the Holy Spirit. The fruit of the Spirit is what? Love. And all of the other attributes and attitudes in the fruit of the Spirit, love, joy, peace, patience, kindness, goodness, gentleness, meekness, faithfulness, self-control, all of these attitudes, if you will, or actions, flow or grow out of love. It is love that produces the work and the fruit of the Holy Spirit in our lives. Amen. A new commandment I give to you, that you love one another. Know who you are in Christ and be set free to love people unconditionally. You know, people are in some ways harder to love than ever before. You know anybody in your life who's hard to love? I do. And you probably do too. Maybe you're thinking about them right now. People are hard to love. People on the street, people in the culture, people in the world are harder to love perhaps now than any other time, but love them anyway. Amen. That's what Jesus did. A new commandment I give to you, that you love one another even as I have loved you. Because the evidence of the love of Jesus is you. That's the final point. The extent of the love of Jesus, that he loved endlessly, steadfastly, eternally, unconditionally. We are to love people always. The expression of this love, the example of this love, is to wash feet. That is, do what people need. That's what humility does. It is to humbly give people not always what they want, but what they need. And then the evidence of the love of Jesus is you or me. How will people know that we are disciples of Jesus, true disciples of Jesus? How will they know that you have love for one another? They see that love in you as we give love, that we give and forgive. And you know, forgiveness is such a big part of love, isn't it? That we lay aside the anger and the selfishness and love people the way they need to be loved. That's loving like Jesus. Is saying what Jesus said on the cross when he was dying. And he said, Father, forgive them. Forgive them, for they know not what they do. I was just reading, I'll close with this. I was reading a quote from the great Christian Corrie ten Boom, who was abused and incarcerated during the Holocaust for protecting Jewish people. She and her family, she lost them in the Holocaust. But she gave a great definition of forgiveness, and here it is. Forgiveness, or a description really of forgiveness. Forgiveness is the key that unlocks the door of resentment and the handcuffs of hatred. It is a power that breaks the chains of bitterness and the shackles of selfishness. And a forgiving Savior, a loving God, forgave us in this way. And the same Bible that tells us we're to love one another tells us that we're to forgive one another. Ephesians 4:32 says, be kind to one another, compassionate towards one another, forgiving one another as God has forgiven you, as God has forgiven us. You want to love like Jesus? Ask Jesus to come into your life, to fill you up with his Spirit, that you would overflow with his love. Pray and ask God to give you more love for people. There's more to be had, amen? Amen. There's more love. The love of God is inexhaustible. So there's more love. Back in the Jesus movement, we used to sing, more love. More power, more strength. Yes, there's more love. It's the love of Jesus. So access it. Get filled up with this love. And dear children, dear church family, love one another as Christ has loved you. Would you stand with me, everyone standing together? Heads are bowed, and let's pray. If you don't know the love of God, the love of Jesus Christ, if you've never come to that place of personal faith in Christ to say an everlasting yes to Him by receiving Him into your heart as Lord and Savior, your heart is always going to be empty. It's always going to be cold. It's going to be filled with other things until it gets filled with the love of Jesus. So invite Jesus into your life. Invite His love to fill you. Say, Lord Jesus, thank you for loving me and dying on the cross for my sins. I believe and trust in you that you rose again from the third day, that you are the Lord of life and the Lord of love. Be my Lord, Jesus. I call upon your name. I receive you as my Lord and Savior, my master and friend. He loves you, my friend. Be his friend by trusting Him today. Just let God love you. You know, when He washed those disciples' feet, Peter didn't understand exactly what was going on. He said, no, Lord, you're never going to wash my feet. And Jesus, of course, said, yes, I'm going to wash your feet. And Simon Peter ultimately said, okay, Lord, wash me all over. He finally let Jesus just love him. Let Jesus love you by inviting him into your life. And let his love wash over you today. Some of you are surrounded with a lot of fear, a lot of hate, chaos in your life, pain and struggle. Let him love you today. Let him wash your feet. Can you just imagine Jesus walking in this room? Use your mind. Use your creativity. Imagine Jesus himself walking in here, and getting down on his knees and washing your feet. He wants to refresh you and renew you and restore you. Let him do it. Let him love you today. Some of you need a church home and a church family, and I'm going to invite you to lead the way coming forward today. We always invite people to come forward, and we're going to ask those of you who receive Christ today, you're praying to receive Christ online. There's a number there, 74788. Text the word Jesus, and we're standing by to speak with you, to encourage you, to tell you that we love you and that we're praying for you. So let us know. Right here in this room, I'm going to ask that you come forward and put your faith and trust in Jesus Christ with a public confession and declaration of your faith. Not a speech before everybody, but just an act of faith by coming forward. Say, what's going to happen when I come forward? You'll speak to one of our ministers here at the front, upstairs in the balcony. We'll have a few words with you. We'll sit down for a few moments after this service to answer your questions, if you have any questions, to encourage you in the Lord, to pray for you, and then you'll walk out of here with Christ full in your life. So come today. Don't wait. Don't watch what somebody else is going to do, but come. Lord, we pray that your love would just sweep over this room and every heart and every life and every family. And Lord, help us to love you. Lord, help us to love lost people. People that are hard to love. Lord, help us to love like you love. And help us to show it in Jesus' name. Amen.
Thank you for joining us for worship at Prestonwood. As you heard earlier, if you made a decision for Christ, please text Jesus to 74788. We would love to connect with you and give you these great resources to help you grow in your faith. One is a New Believer's Bible with helpful notes to help you study God's Word. The other is a book by Pastor Jack Graham on the next steps to take as you pursue this new life in Christ. As we close, I'd like to thank you for your faithful giving to support Prestonwood and the work God is doing through our ministries. If you would like to give, text word GIVE to 74788 or visit prestonwood.org/give. It's been a joy worshiping with you, and we look forward to seeing you again soon.